All right, if you would take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8 tonight. Someone once remarked, you can find the world's shortest sermon on the stop sign. And it's always keep right. And really, that's something for us that I'm trying to learn and trying to understand. And one of the things that as we go through this Christian walk, and I'm so grateful that God is merciful in that, is that we need to learn to trust Him and do what He says. And so often we find ourselves doing things that aren't necessarily right. And we even find ourselves asking why sometimes. But it's interesting when we saw in chapter 7 that they went to this small little place called Ai, and they sent 2,000 or 3,000 guys to go out there, I think it was 3,000, to fight them. And when they got to the place, they ran, they fled, and they lost 36 men. And we think to ourselves, and as we've read the Bible, and we read chapter 1, 2, and 3, where the Lord told Joshua that be strong and of good courage. He told him, He says, I'll be with you. I'll go before you in the battles. And He's told us that too as well, that He will do that for us, that they happen to go to this one place and all of a sudden they're on the losing side. And sometimes we Christians, we find ourselves on the losing side and we wonder why. And it's because we've made some decisions that weren't right decisions. And that's exactly what happened if we remember. Achan made a decision to do something he shouldn't have done. And that was only one man. One man. His wife didn't make that decision, as far as we know. His children didn't make that decision, or any of his relatives. Nobody else got with him and said, hey, let's go get all the goods or get, you know, this or that. No, nowhere in the Bible does it say that. So one fella decided, and of course, it was something that he saw and he coveted, decided that I'm going to go against the Lord's word. And of course, the Lord told them specifically not to take of any of the gold or any of that. He said, in fact, all of those spoils were to go into the treasury. And so anyway, he took it and nobody knew about it except for, of course, God. And when they fought that battle, they lost that battle, and it was because God wasn't with them. They took it for granted that this would be easy, which it would have been, but God wasn't with him. And nowhere in that chapter where Joshua went to do battle did we see anywhere where he consulted the Lord. He didn't ask the Lord about anything. He didn't talk to him about anything about before going to that battle. If he would have, I would suggest that the Lord would have probably told him, says, don't go. We got a problem. But he went ahead and went anyway. And through that, like I say, they lost those men, and then they found out who did it, and of course they took him, and they destroyed him and his family and everything that he owned. But then when we come to chapter 8, we see right away, in verse 1 it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua. Now there's communication. Why? Because they got right with God. As harsh as it seems, that's what happened. And all of a sudden, there's communications. And God is talking to Joshua. He's telling him what to do. He's giving him the plan. Before, he didn't talk to the Lord when he went to Ai. He didn't know what the plan was. He came up on it with it with his own and decided what he was going to do. And here God is talking to him. Here God is speaking to Joshua, and he's going to lay it all out. Let's begin reading. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not. Now that's a good thing to say all of a sudden with all the things that have happened, but God's just trying to remind him and says, I'm with you again. I'm on your side. He says, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. So right there he begins and says, you've already won the battle. Just follow the plan, okay? Follow the plan. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto the treasury. No. He says, you can have it. All they had to do was obey God the first time. And again, I go back to that theory of the first fruits belong to the Lord. I believe that's the principle here. But anyway, he says, ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor. Not 3,000, 30,000. Did he need all these men? Probably not. But this is what God wanted him to do. And he sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass that when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. So the plan is simple. He's saying, I want you to put some guys lying in wait. I think they're on the west side and the east side. If I remember, we'll read through it. But he said, we'll go on the north side and we'll pull the people out of the city because they're going to think we're going to run. They already know we're cowards, right? Good plan. Verse 6 says, for they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us. As at the first, therefore we will flee before them. So there's going to be some action that takes place here. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at the time appointed, before the plain. But he wist not that there were liers in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if it were beaten before them, and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua, and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. So here we see God's plan. And it was simple. He said, you're going to have some guys in ambush, lying in ambush. We're going to go before, about 5,000, just like the 3,000 did before. And when they see us, we're going to turn around and take off because we're going to act like we're scared. And they're going to come out of the city and chase us. And when they do, the other guys are going to go into the city and burn it. And then when we see, well, the smoke, we know that we're going to turn around. But now look at verse 18. Here's an important part again. What's it say in that first couple, like four or five words? Yeah, God is talking to him again. He's still got the plan. God has given it to him. He's laying it out for him. How does that correlate for us today? It tells us that we don't necessarily have the plan, but God does. And when we wait on him, like Isaiah 40:31 teaches us, that God will give us the direction that we need to go. He'll tell us how to do things and what's right. And that's the thing that we always have to make sure that we're trying to do as Christians, is do that which is right. Who are we to please? Men? No, it's God. God is who we want to please. And that's exactly what Joshua's learned, is that we want to do it God's way. I've tried it my way. It didn't work. Now God is with me. God is teaching me. God is telling me. I'm waiting on the Lord. He's telling me what to do. He tells him, and he says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. Now, he's going to do this all the way through the battle. It says in verse 19, "And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as they had as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up into heaven. They had no power to flee this way or that way, and the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers." In other words, Israel's going back after him. "And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side. And they smote them, so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Joshua had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field and the wilderness wherein they chased them, when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out his spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai he hanged on a tree until eventide, and as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raised thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day." As we think about all that's taken place here, and we look at this, again, as I mentioned and have been mentioning through this whole thing, is that there are lessons to be learned in the book of Joshua. These lessons are for us today. They're there that we would be reminded of these very things. And again, that we can trust God is the first thing. That we can be of good courage. That we can be strong. That we don't have to let down and have to falter. But we can continue. We have the victory. It's all about just looking to God in our situation. And not looking to people. Not looking to other things. But just trusting what God has said. And here we understand that Joshua learned from his encounter with Ai the first time, that his way didn't work. That's what I have to learn. That's one of the hardest things, is learning that my way doesn't always work. And God has a different plan. And I want to find out what that is. And that requires that we wait on him, that we trust his word. In Psalm 119, 130, he says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." It's the word of God that helps me to understand what God's plan is for my life. I've heard people say to me, says, for instance, take the activity of smoking. Well, it's not in the Bible to say you shouldn't smoke. Well, that's a simple answer, but there are a lot of principles that tell us we shouldn't smoke. And it's interesting, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. And so we need to look at the Bible and study it. We want to find the deeper things of God. How do we do that? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that when we compare Scripture with Scripture, that's when we can learn the deep things of God. And that's why the Old Testament is so good and rich, is you can go back to it and you can understand how God was dealing with the children of Israel on a daily basis and how they responded to that. And based on their response to that, God dealt with them. And that's the same way he does with us. Now, I don't think he's as quick to react to us sometimes as he was to the children of Israel, because he hadn't told anybody to come get me and throw me in a heap and burn my family and all that stuff yet. And I'm thankful for that. But he wants us to follow his plan completely. And when we do, we can see, just like Joshua saw in this instance, that the victory was there. And the supply. You know, you think about, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:19 that our God will supply all our need according to his riches in Christ Jesus in glory. And that's a fact. When Achan looked at that stuff that he saw and he coveted, his desire to have that more than to follow God was prevalent at that particular point in his life. And he failed in that. But God, the whole time, had a plan to take care of him. I don't know what all they got besides the cattle, what the other spoils were in the city. Maybe it wasn't as big as Jericho was. There's only 12,000 people there. But yet, he would have had part of that, whatever it was. And so he chose to do it his way, and it cost Israel some lives. It cost them 36 men's lives, plus the doubt that Israel had of, is God really going to take care of us? You know, when one of us falls or has a failure in our life, and we seem to be someone who is really walking with God, people kind of look at that and go, is God really there? Is he really doing what he says he will do? What happens is we tarnish God and his example by our testimony sometimes. We need to be careful with that. Because here, I'm sure the children of Israel were thinking, hold it, I thought God said, Joshua, that he was going to take care of us through this whole thing. What happened? And I can imagine that some of them were thinking, well, I don't know. This doesn't sound right to me. I think we've messed up. We're doing the wrong thing, Joshua. And it could have caused some problems. But God, once they dealt with the situation like he told them to, instantaneously, he turned it around. It's the same with us. When we find out we're not doing what God has instructed us to do, we need to go to him and say, please forgive me, and just ask him for that forgiveness and spell it out exactly what it is. And when you do that, it will make a difference. It makes a difference in your life and your family's life and those that are around you. And God wants to do that. That's really how his plan works. You know, today, and this is just something extra and we'll be wrapping it up, but I don't know about you, but I've been hearing so much about all these men that have had these sordid affairs with women. They're firing all these guys. Left and right, it's happening. Al Franken, well, he's not stepping down. If you're in Congress, you don't have to leave, but if you work for some business somewhere, they fire you. You know, it's kind of strange. But you know what? What makes me mad about this whole thing is, if you lived in the 60s and 70s, you've seen what America did to those young people, or we did to ourselves, if you will. We put it out there like it was nothing. You can do whatever you want. Free love, whatever. And now all of a sudden, and I'm not against women, don't take this wrong, but you look how women dress today. I mean, they expect men to be strong and not do anything, but they can wear nothing and expect nothing to happen. The society has generated this because we've turned from God. And we saw a big upheaval in the 60s and 70s of this things happening. They're coming out now. 40 years ago or 30 years ago, somebody did something or whatever. Well, that back then didn't mean nothing to you then, but now all of a sudden it's a big deal. And I'm not trying to say these guys ought to get away with it. No, not by any means. But I'm just saying there's more to blame than these guys that are getting kicked out of these situations. And it all boils down to one thing. And that's when we've removed God from our society. That's why we're having the problems we're having today. And that's going to continue. But for us, we know God. We don't just know about him, but we know him because he lives with us. And it's on a daily basis. And that's what's so exciting about the Bible. That's what's so exciting about the Word of God, is that as you study it and I study it, there are principles there that are infallible. There are principles there that will stand the test of time and will hold forth until the Lord comes back. We just need to follow them. That's it. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for how you speak to our hearts, how you deal with us, Father. We know that we all struggle. There are things that we've done wrong and things that sometimes we don't see right away, but then you reveal them to us. And Father, you give us that second, third, fourth chance, and we're grateful for that. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.